Welcome to this podcast from famvin.org, a digital network for connecting, collaborating, and evangelizing.
Some commentary on the prayer. An analysis of the prayer enables us to see that it is composed of two well-defined sections. The first section contains a double invocation, or greeting, and the second section is composed of seven petitions, which should be viewed as a synthesis of the primary spiritual and apostolic concerns of St. Louise and all the Daughters of Charity. The sisters, in making this prayer their own, desire to render homage to the Immaculate Conception, and also aspire to offer themselves, body and soul, to the Virgin Mary. In this way, they imitate Louise de Marillac, who in 1626 offered herself to the Mother of God. 1 year later, in 1627, Louise wrote about that event and stated, "Oh my God, why am I unable to reveal to the world the beauty which you have shown me, as well as the dignity of the Blessed Virgin? Everything is comprised in her title of Mother of the Son of God. How admirable are her deeds! With good reason, the Church addresses her as the Mother of Mercy, because she is also the Mother of Grace." Further commentary on the twofold invocation, or the greeting, directed to Mary. The double invocation, contained in the greeting, in the words, "Most Holy Virgin," and "O Most Pure Virgin," echoes the greeting proclaimed by the angel to Mary at the time when she was told that she would be the Mother of God. The angel said, "Hail, favored one." And then later, "You have found favor with God." The recognition of Mary's holiness and purity led Louise to continue her conversation with the Mother of God, a conversation that concluded with seven petitions addressed to the only Mother of the company. Louise sought Mary's intercession in order to obtain from her beloved Son the most urgent graces for herself and for all the members of the Company of the Daughters of Charity, who, in the present or in the future, might join this group of women. As Louise meditated and reflected on God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ, she made an act of faith and love before expressing her particular needs and the needs of the community. After the greeting, there is a profession of faith that the sisters, in imitation of their founder, make. They believe in their hearts and proclaim with their lips that Mary, anticipating the merits of the passion and the death of Jesus, was conceived without original sin. Trusting in that glorious characteristic of the Mother of God, and therefore trusting in Mary's maternal intercession, the sisters request seven graces that they consider to be most urgent. The first three petitions refer to clothing themselves in the distinctive spirit of the company, since if they lack that spirit, then they lack everything. Perseverance in one's vocation is most urgent, since discouragement in serving those who are poor and problems in community life are often the cause for a sister to leave the community. The gift of prayer responds to the constant need for assistance from God and intimacy with God in order that the sisters might remain faithful and firm in their offering of self to God. A good life corresponds to the universal call from God to live a holy life that makes them irreproachable in their love for God and in their charity on behalf of the poor. Lastly, they request a happy death, as the crown of their life of self-sacrifice and service, a gift that will make them a part of the mission of heaven, which is a mission of love that will last forever. As we have seen, the reasons for requesting those graces and blessings from God through the intercession of His Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary, could not have been stated with any greater emotion than when St. Louise wrote, "Most Holy Virgin, have pity on all souls redeemed by the Son of God, your Son, Jesus Christ. Offer to the divine justice your pure body, which furnished the blood which he shed for our redemption, so that his merits may be applied to the souls of the dying and effect in them complete conversion. Procure for us, through your intercession, all that we need to give glory to God in the fullness of heavenly beatitude, and to enjoy the blessedness which your dear presence imparts to the saints who are now with you in glory." The commentary on the seven primary requests. The sisters begin this prayer with a united voice and request humility, a virtue that characterized the incarnate Son of God, who lowered himself to become one like us in everything but sin. Humility is first among the virtues that constitute the spirit of the Daughters of Charity and enables the sisters to see the truth concerning who they are and what they have. Louise, as she lifted up her voice to Mary, stated, "May persons honor your pure marriage by their submission to their dependence upon and their confidence in the providence of God. May they imitate the limitless virtues which you practiced during the years of the hidden life of your Son, Jesus Christ, especially your great humility, which made you ever open to the action of God in you and to your place in the divine plan." The second petition refers to charity, the greatest of all virtues, and the one virtue that explains the name of the sisters and the purpose of the company in the midst of the church and the world, namely, to serve and to love Jesus Christ in the person of the poor and the infirm, and to do so spiritually and materially, affectively and effectively. Louise was so clear about this reality that she lifted up her voice to Mary in order to express to her a need that is common to us all, the practice of charity that enables us to live with dignity as children of God and as spiritual children of Mary. When speaking about charity among the sisters, a love that leads to intimate union, Louise stated, "It seemed to me that in order to be faithful to God, we must live in great union with one another. Since the Holy Spirit is the union of the Father and the Son, the life which we have freely undertaken must be lived in this great union of hearts. This will prevent us from becoming annoyed by the actions of others and enable us to bear with one another and to live together with cordiality and gentleness." The third petition is common to those simple individuals who have placed their trust in the Lord, that is, those who make every effort to acquire a purity of heart, body, and spirit. This virtue leads people to do everything in thought, word, and deed in order to please God alone, and not to please others who are frequently the friends of appearances and vanity. The simplicity that is requested here is none other than that which is referred to in the Beatitudes, where Jesus proclaims, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." Louise had demonstrated and knew from experience that the sisters, who are truly simple, would come to know in a special way the secrets of the kingdom and the secrets of charity. The fourth petition has as its goal the grace to persevere in one's vocation. During times of temptation and trial and tribulation, perseverance should be understood as fidelity to the commitments related to one's vocation. As we previously indicated, this is most necessary when disinterested service on behalf of the poor becomes discouraging and a burden, when with each passing day, community life becomes more difficult, and when we begin to feel overwhelmed by the deceitful manipulations of the world. In a letter dated July 1642, Louise encouraged Sister Madeline with the following words: "Be very courageous, then, in the distrust you must have for yourself. I say the same thing to all our dear sisters. I desire all of them to be filled with a great love, which will immerse them so sweetly in God and so charitably in the service of the poor, that their hearts will no longer have place for so many thoughts which endanger their perseverance. Courage, then, my dear sisters. Seek only to please God by faithfully observing His commandments and the evangelical counsels, because the goodness of God has deigned to call us to this." The fifth petition is a request that Mary might grant us the gift of prayer, a gift which she herself had received. The Gospels tell us that Mary reflected on all the words that Jesus spoke and on all the activity that he engaged in. Furthermore, Louise was convinced that if the sisters neglected prayer, the community would be dissolved because the members would then be lacking the nourishment necessary to sustain and develop their vocation. We are well aware of Louise's thoughts and convictions with regard to prayer, and so there is no need to refer to her words in order to understand her insistence on fidelity to prayer, both personal and community prayer. The sixth petition refers to the saintly life that a daughter of charity should live. Without such a life, her actions will convince no one, and she will be unable to distinguish herself from other secular Christians. Her life will be superficial at best, and it will be very clear that she did not internalize Jesus' words, "Be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." Louise viewed holiness as the acceptance of and the fulfillment of God's plan, which is grounded on the law of love, a law that is above all other laws, for we find in the Gospels these words: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." A good death is the object of the seventh and final petition, and that is intended as a crown to the holy life of a daughter of charity who dedicates her life to works of charity on behalf of those men and women who are poor. Like St. Paul, the sisters competed well and finished the race, and now hope to receive the crown of justice that will be bestowed on all those who have longed for the appearance of the Lord. As far as everything else, well, life is too short. Yet, as Vincent de Paul has stated, life is a journey that leads us to eternity, to our mission in heaven. Here, a conclusion. In light of everything that we have said, we can now begin to understand the devotion of the Daughters of Charity to Mary Immaculate. This prayer has been put into music by Sister Conman and gives a solemnity to praying the rosary as well as other Marian liturgical and paraliturgical services. Even though I do not know this for certain, however, it is most probable that this prayer has been put into music in other languages, and thus the sisters sing this hymn in honor of the Immaculate Conception. Since the time of our founders, both the founder of the Congregation of the Mission, as well as the founder of the Company of the Daughters of Charity, the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception has been celebrated with special fervor. Perhaps this is the reason why the community was blessed with the apparitions that occurred on the Rue de Bac in 1830. Since the year 1852, the Superior General of the Daughters of Charity has written a circular letter on the occasion of the celebration of the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. In that letter, the sisters are exhorted to love and to imitate Mary. The annual act of consecration reminds us today of all those acts that Louise offered to God in the Cathedral of Chartres, asking God to destroy the company rather than let it be established contrary to His holy word. That is the end of this article.